Welcome to another episode of Creator Lab. This is your host, Bilal Zaidi. I've been on the road for a few weeks in California and I'm back now recording a bunch of interviews. So watch out for those in the coming weeks. In the meantime, I'm sharing a segment from my chat on my new show, Not Investment Advice. I started that with Creator Lab favorite Jack Butcher, founder of Visualize Value, and Trung Phan, lead writer at The Hustle. We're mostly having fun, but every week we're sharing the crazy things we're finding on the edges of the internet and discussing the latest in the world of business, tech, and investing. So please do me a favor and go over to your podcast app right now and subscribe to the new feed to hear the full combo. Just search for Not Investment Advice on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any podcast app that you use. In this conversation, we're joined by Alex Cohen. He's a director of product at Carbon Health. He previously sold his companies and is an investor in Startup World. We dissect what the hell happened this week with the crypto crash, and Trung shared what he'd learned from his interview with legendary investor Stanley Druckenmiller. We discuss Ford's new electric car announcement, decentralized social networks, Pamela Anderson following Jack, my experience watching Stanford grads work on ad approvals at Google, and how we invested this week given the huge fall in prices. Enjoy this convo and speak to you next week. Welcome everyone to another episode of Not Investment Advice. We got Trung Phan here. What's going on, man?
Yo, man. How's your son? I'm back, fresh off the
CNBC circuit.
Oh, I added them at least 100 times between the last appearance and this one, and they finally came through. I think they're just like, yo, we gotta get this guy off our back. Done. All right, so
you were the crypto analyst, man, which is hilarious because people who listen to the show know you don't. You're Fiat fan to us, but somehow you were commentating on it.
I got a lot of DMs being like, yo, dude, you don't even own crypto. I'm like, yeah, that's the joke. That's the beauty of it. CNBC wanted 4 crypto experts. They found 3 in me.
It's incredible. So we'll talk about that in a minute, but we also got Jack Butcher, founder of Visualize Value. Also, he's been going off on BitClout this week. So newly followed by Pamela Anderson. How are you feeling, Jack?
Euphoric.
Whatever, we'll pretend it is. But most importantly, Bilal.
We got
our first guest.
Our special guest today, Alex. What's happening, man?
Not too much. I am very excited for this.
Alex, just give us a quick little background, because I guess we didn't even really fully go into it. You work at Carbon right now. You had a company before you invested too, right?
Yep. Sold a company back in 2018. So that was like the first exit that I had. Stayed with that company for a year, started another one end of 2019, left end of 2020. And now I ended up getting recruited into Carbon and have loved it. So that's the serious bio. I've spent time between FinTech, SaaS, and now health tech, which is brand new for me.
It's been a crazy week. So for people listening, what is the date today? It's Thursday, May 20th, because that's quite key because lots is changing every single day. So depending on when we get this out, hopefully we'll get it out pretty quickly. This has been a crazy, crazy week in crypto world. Obviously, we're all fans of it here. We've been talking about it every single episode. So maybe we should just paint a picture for people who aren't really fully in that world and don't know what happened. I feel like Trung, you probably wrote about this week or even this morning, or someone on your team did. So
I mean,
like,
we have to preface this by saying I don't own any crypto, which is I'm like the dude that writes about football but has never thrown a football in his life. Like, if I was on the field, I literally would be completely useless. So I mean, I'll just do the Coles notes just because I can do it and I can do it.
Well, tell us what you told everyone on CNBC because they think you knew. So.
Oh my God, hilarious. Okay, so May 12th, Elon tweets that he's no longer accepting payments for Bitcoin. Bitcoin had gone from, I don't know, like 30,000 to 60,000 when Tesla announced that they're putting $1.5 billion on their balance sheet. So Elon literally is just like the puppet master controlling the price of fucking Bitcoin, right? And May 12th, it's been 8 days. There was a massive sell-off yesterday. It all just kind of, you know, it all kind of cascaded through. I think somebody said it, a bit of it had to do with the margin call. The TLDR, it went down more than 50% from its highs of 65,000. Went down about 30. Now it's back up to 40. And Elon, yesterday, Mr. Puppet Master, threw the diamond hands. A couple hours later, the Bitcoin's back up like 20%. So I think Jack put an amazing tweet. I think I'll just summarize this. Okay, so Elon's getting so much hate, right, from the Bitcoin community. A bit of me was just like, man, this is kind of like just unsafe. Right? Like, he's actually destroying people's personal wealth, right? Like, and this guy walks, you see him on TMZ all the time. This guy's just on the street signing autographs, right? It doesn't take that much for a crazy dude just to stab or try to stab him or shoot him. It wouldn't be the first time that this happened, right? I mean, honestly, right?
Is that where Trent's mind went?
Like, it's dark, but like, man,
it's true.
John Lennon was fucking shot by an alleyway. I mean, anybody who watches Forrest Gump knows that John Lennon was killed in an alleyway. So Elon is basically at John Lennon levels of fame if you look globally, and this guy just walking around on the street, just destroyed at peak $500 billion of crypto wealth. And you know, I'm like, man, this is like kind of dangerous. But Jack, who's actually the greatest chronicler of crypto, and in our three-way chat with Bilal and Jack, he just sends like nonstop tweets about crypto, and they're all so insightful. But Jack, why don't you say what this, I mean, the guy said about Elon and long-term thinking. Were you able to internalize that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think it's, there's two sides to the argument people are taking, right? One is like just so eccentric and messing around. And then the other side is this guy thinks on a time frame that is imperceptible to most people. It's like you're trying to create an interplanetary species and like move an entire planet onto a different source of renewable energy.
Right.
So is it feasible that this like toying with the monetary system that he doesn't have some bigger idea at play that is very difficult to fathom, and there's like some 8D chess going on in order to like bring about some massive amount of change? I don't know what I'd make of it, but it's an interesting way to articulate the argument as well. You could also just say he's pissing around because he wants attention and more clicks and more Tesla orders or whatever else. But it's very difficult to imagine being able to hold those two ideas in your head, right? Like I'm full-time joking about crypto, and I'm also like trying to develop some rocket that can land itself. It's kind of bizarre.
Well, Alex, you said you did fintech previously. What are your thoughts about what Jack just said about Elon working on this like 50-year timescale?
I don't know if I buy that in regards to Elon and his views on crypto, but what I do think is like, I personally feel like Bitcoin has just been a series of memes over the last decade, like finally compounding into what it is today. And I think Elon is finally trolling back the Bitcoin trolls over the last decade. So I view him as a modern day god. I'm just kidding. But I do think like, it's not unsurprising that Elon is taking the same playbook that all the Bitcoin bros have done for the last 5 years and just doing it at a much larger scale. And the whole thing is the whole thing is subject to volatility with people's perceptions. I'm not sure. I still don't necessarily fully understand how Bitcoin works and like why it has a value, which makes it even more volatile to me when people are doing stuff like Elon is.
Jack, this is your sailor moment.
Alex to put his entire allocation.
By the end of this, we're gonna get Trung and Alex all in. So,
no, I mean, it's a fair point. Pomp told me to buy like 10k of Bitcoin a month ago, and it was at 50k, and I was like, do I do it? And then I decided not to. I'm very happy I didn't.
Wait, Alex, are you also at zero like me?
Yeah, no Bitcoin.
Oh, you'll
no
be on CBC. You'll be on CBC just, in no time, dude.
Just Doge. All I own is a little bit of Doge.
I had a question about I read a tweet the other day about, I think it was Pomp, talking about like your journalistic requirement to not hold or to disclose assets that you hold when you're reporting a story. Like, are we like just beyond the ability to keep track of that at this point? Trung, is there any like...
I mean, like, I'll tell you from my experience. Like, so I moved, like, when I was trading more in 2020, in really, really awful trades. I mean, I'm moving in and out of so many names, right? It's like, it got to a point where I'm like, man, I literally just wrote to my editor. I'm like, should I just write disclaimer? Like the author of this article may or may not own this asset mentioned
right,
this
right.
in the future or has in the past. Like it's just gone to the point where I'm just in there's so many things happening, right? You should, frankly, but I think at this point it should just be, the understanding should just be there. Put that disclaimer. Listen, I might go in. I might have been in. Like, just
well, that's not a disclaimer, though, is it? That's like that's basically like disclaimer. Anything might be true.
Yeah, it's just like
I may or may not be in.
No, exactly right. Like
the sky may or may not be blue.
Yeah.
No, or you just call the podcast, or you just call the podcast not investment advice, and you can do anything you want.
Yeah. There you go.
No, I mean, like, there have been a couple, so you guys will laugh, but the last time I was on CNBC, I'm just gonna, as many times as I can mention the words I was on CNBC, I'm just gonna keep doing it. So I wasn't pumping Cathie Wood. I was just saying, you know what, I kind of get what she's doing. But I'd written a couple of Cathie Wood articles in the past. And there's like, hey, man, can you just add a disclaimer that you own? I'm like, man, I didn't even own it at that time. Like, you're asking me to go back in time and add a disclaimer because I was on CNBC, which, fair enough. It was like, it's very visible.
Who's asking you that? Right? They also asked you that.
On my team, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wait, Trung, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Were you on CNBC?
two times. The real question is, how many times were you on CNBC? I actually wanted to do a quick spiel on Elon because I did do a little bit of research on his PayPal days. And one of the big things that pissed people off on Sunday when he got into that beef with the Bitcoiners was that they're like, oh, look, Elon like pulled out the credential card, right? He's like, he did the whole like elementary school student, like, oh, I've been thinking about this. You guys might've heard of PayPal. And, but there's actually a really good interview where he walked through like his whole thinking on PayPal. I mean, like, so this guy has been thinking about payments and monetary system currency clearly for 20, 30 years, right? And the reason why he started X.com, which merged with Confinity, which Peter Thiel founded to become PayPal, was that he sold Zip2 for like 300 mil, which was like a location services company. He sold that to Compaq. He pocketed 16 mil after tax. But here's the thing. He wanted to do sustainability stuff from his early 20s, but he saw the internet was growing. He's like, shit, I'm going to play around the internet. He did his first Silicon Valley play, sold it. But then he's like, you know what? I want to do one that's even bigger than this. I want to take on a highly regulated industry. But he's also like, his criteria was what uses information, but is extremely low bandwidth. And he looked at two things. He looked at video and he looked at money. And he's like, internet's not ready for video. This is 99. And he's like, money, very low bandwidth, right? And the institutions that exist, banks, are just fucking dinosaurs. And it was the first time actually that he took on a highly regulated industry. And people don't remember this, but Elon got very far. He was one of the first FDCI backed banks on the internet. He had 200,000 subs, had deals with like Visa. And he ended up getting booted from PayPal when they combined. But I mean, this guy's been thinking about information and money for a very long time, right? And his whole point about money, and which I would think would be interesting regarding Bitcoin, is this. He says money, the only purpose of money is to allocate resources, right? A lot of people think that, but he literally just says it straight. It's like, the only reason I think about money is where does labor go and how do I direct it in the right direction? So that is how I think he'd be looking at Bitcoin. Is like, can I use Bitcoin as a way to divert labor in certain directions? And Bitcoin might not be the best move, right? It's a store value, not necessarily medium of exchange or medium of account. But anyways, the guy's fucking been thinking about it, man. All these haters need to like lay low.
Right, Trung, can I ask a question for you? Well, for everyone, like, do you realistically think though, and I think everything you said is really true, like he's clearly, like he knows what he's doing. Like he's not just messing around completely. But even if he knows what he's doing, he might be doing it just for fun. We don't know. But realistically, when they put that amount of money on Tesla's balance sheet, surely someone who his life is dedicated to like environmental impact and Tesla and renewables, like surely you must know what they eventually tweeted a few months later, right? Like 100%. It seems a bit crazy. So, so the fact that he's saying now, okay, yeah, Bitcoin uses a lot of energy or whatever he said, it seems to me like that seems kind of stupid. Like, so I started losing a little respect when I was like, okay, like I got to separate my own kind of bias too, because I'm obviously a fan of crypto as well. But I was like, dude, you're just messing around with people so much by this point. It's tough to figure out.
Well, the last comment I have on this before I'm in one so opine is just basically, I just think he's realizing that he can control. I mean, he already knew it with Tesla, right? He could tweet his way to a $600 billion company, essentially. And he's doing the same with what really is the next store of value that can compete with gold. And he's just like, fuck, I have all this power. Like, why not see where I can take it and the boundaries of it, right? Listen, man, Henry Kissinger said power is the greatest aphrodisiac, dude. Like, how's this guy going to stop? He's seeing how much power he has.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, I was listening to that Balaji, well, we talked about that a few episodes ago, Balaji, Tim Ferriss, this idea of post-economic like you're an individual that's like your concept of money for like as it relates to your personal life has evaporated, right? It's like you don't even doesn't even like the money you spend as an individual doesn't even really factor into your decisions. So like I would imagine you just get like these like heady conceptual rabbit holes about what it is. And that's maybe where this stuff comes from. Other people are like looking at the price go up or down $1,000 and it's like changing the direction of their life. He's like thinking about it very differently than the typical person, right?
Well, actually I have a question for Alex. Is Alex, you see like how obviously Elon is using kind of his the memeing, he understands attracts an audience and he's able to direct that onto things. When you, and I mean, you're some people you work with are shit posting, it obviously makes you more likable, more relatable. Is that, do you see that helping with recruiting? Do you see that help? Like, where do you see that tangibly affecting your business?
Oh, I mean, it impacts everything. Like I've met so many people just because I get messages saying, I love your tweets. I hate watching all this, like thoughtful and reading all these thoughtful influencer posts on Twitter, all this stuff. So it helps. Yeah. Recruiting, meeting co-investors, meeting companies, all that. I think people find the genuineness, very, very relatable. I think at Elon's scale of what, 60 or 70 million followers on Twitter. Now he's probably the only person in the entire world who is actively tweeting about this stuff with that large of an audience. Like he moves markets more than CNBC does or more than Fox or more than it. Like, and this is the first time in history that we've had someone with legitimately, like there is a cult following behind Elon, but there's like, everyone knows about him. Just so many hundred, like, tens of millions of people. And so when he says something, it has a ripple effect. Now crypto is not regulated by the SEC. So I don't know what sort of repercussions there are for him just, you know, tanking billions of dollars in value, but this is the first time ever that we've got a publicly facing figure incessantly tweeting about something that's related to financial markets. And so I think you're seeing like the power of the internet at scale. Yeah, I mean, you look at like GameStop, right? And you've got a non-crypto, like an actual publicly traded company that now look at the power of Reddit and communities and the internet and just how fast information spreads. And all of a sudden you've got, like the stock market has always been a large part based on people's emotions and like not actual fundamentals of companies. And now you've got that at scale on the internet with people who have massive audiences being able to move things. And so I mean, none of this existed 5 years ago. So we're seeing right. The very first inklings of the ability for financial markets to be even more unstable than they are. And then unregulated assets to be very unstable because of people's perceptions. So, and even this last year, you know, you look at Robinhood's growth and Public's growth and all these like all the apps that let people trade stocks, everyone moved online for doing this stuff. It's just a massive shift into internet information spread.
You said it very eloquently, Alex. I think like the fundamentals are evaporating from like the rest of the market, at least how people make decisions about these things. But all of Elon's companies operate from a different definition of fundamentals, right? Which is, I think, influences the way he talks about everything and thinks about everything, where it's like, rules don't apply to me. What, you have to make something and then sell it for more than you paid for it? No, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'll make the difference up in 300 years when we're on Mars. Right? So it's like, that's a complete different way of thinking. And I think that is like bleeding into these like crazy
everything
rants on money. Yeah.
I mean, you also look at what he's done and he took on, I mean, you know, like him or not, he took on two very massive antiquated spaces that no one thought that they could break into traditionally. Like and he did it well. Like you look at Tesla's execution and, you know, they've had their problems, but when's the last time you heard of a car company coming to market at mass market like that?
Oh, it's 100 years. It's literally over 100 years.
Yeah. Same thing with space. Like, can you think of any other space companies besides NASA and SpaceX?
And like,
Blue Origin, obviously, but that's just like another billionaire. That's just, I mean, a multi-hundred billionaire, right? It's like two guys in the world literally can do it.
Well, I haven't done my research on this, but like solar, what's the solar business?
Solar
called?
City.
Solar City, yeah.
Is that still going?
Yeah, it combined with Tesla.
And so SolarCity and Starlink, like this is another layer to it where it's like a network, like the infrastructure network, energy, internet, communication, like plug money into that. It's like you're building your own little universe that doesn't operate by the rules that have been entrenched by system X or mathematical valuation of companies that written by Benjamin Graham or whoever else. It's just
And you look at what he said on SNL, where he's like, do you really expect that I would be a normal person doing all this stuff? And like, no, I mean, I've thought about this for a while. Like, there's no way someone who is that absolutely delusionally, like just enough sanity to make these things happen realistically, like is not going to be a normal person, is not going to be a sane person. And now you're seeing that translate to the next thing that he's obsessed with, which is crypto, whether it's Doge or Bitcoin or whatever. I don't know if you guys saw Ford announced their electric truck last night, and I'm obsessed with it. If I was Elon, I would be shitting myself right now because I think
best selling car in America for 39 years.
Dude, the Ford F-150 sold 600 or 700,000 units in 2020. And you talk about, I'm really excited because I eventually believe everything is going to be electric. We're going to have grid, like electric grids, batteries going to be able to be charged in 10 or 20 minutes instead of 2 hours. And now you have the most popular truck in America, like most popular with most of what America's demographic is now getting access to an electric vehicle that caters to them. I'm super excited.
But I read something about like the, I think it was an example in like phone manufacturing. It's like the innovator rarely, like, was that you that posted that, Trung? Like the innovator rarely like survives for decades and decades. So Nokia, for example, with phones, like came and popularized it, and then everybody with the infrastructure and the operational excellence comes
in. Second mover, like the second or third mover comes in. No, you're right.
Same with Google. Google wasn't the first search engine. Facebook wasn't the first social network.
Social network,
Do you guys remember Rogan when Elon was on Rogan the first time? There's just this great clip. We could probably clip it out, but he goes, he says Alex's point. He's like, Rogan's like, so what's it like in your brain? He's like, trust me. You don't want to be in here. It's like, it's the greatest. He's just like, trust me, I can't turn it off, right? Like, I can't turn this thing off. Actually, I'll tell you a crazy story. Elon flew up pre-COVID to a party in Victoria, BC. And he showed up at like 2 a.m. on a lavender farm in Victoria, BC. He came with, I think, 3 of his kids. Owen Wilson was at this party. Totally random, but I'm in British Columbia, so I knew a couple of people that went to this party. It was like very secretive, and my buddy Elon shows up at 2 a.m. and he just walks up to this party, and my buddy kind of bumps into him and like was just observing him, said hi, and then obviously you're gonna watch what Elon's up to, right? And Elon just kind of stood in the corner and like stared at a light for like 40 minutes, and my buddy's like, this guy's probably trying to solve like how to land a rocket on Mercury right now. He's just like staring at a light for 40 minutes. But that was one thing I want to add. The other one I want to add about Alex's point on emotions kind of dictating investing was this is a massive name drop. I'm waiting to name drop it. But I interviewed Stanley Druckenmiller last week, literally the Mount Rushmore of investors. He's the guy that broke the Bank of England, made $1 billion on a trade shorting the pound. But he's just telling me this story that made me feel so good. We'll publish it. It's been out there before, but I heard it. I was like blown away. At the top of the dot-com bubble, this is literally one of the greatest investors ever. He had two portfolio managers underneath him. He was very, he was shorting the dot-com bubble. And it was going so badly, he was losing so much money that he finally turned around, went long, made a bunch of money in 99. And then in early 2000, he took his money, all the markets, like this is insanity. But then he saw his two portfolio managers underneath him ripping. The bubble was still going. He fucking gets on the phone and puts a $6 billion bet in. And he said that he called the top of the market by about 10 minutes and he lost $3 billion. Literally one of the greatest investors ever. And he couldn't stop himself. He literally couldn't stop himself. And and the way he just capped it off was like saying, like, hey man, what did you learn from that lesson? Like everybody always ask him, what did you learn from buying at the top of the dot-com bubble? He's like, I learned nothing. I knew this 20 years ago. I knew that I shouldn't have done this 20 years ago, right? It's like, I couldn't stop myself. It's like, it was literally impossible. So fuck man, like 8 million or 10 million, 50 million people on their phone right now. They can't stop themselves because they'll fuck their investing is.
Yeah, it's legal gambling.
Gone.
Yeah,
completely. Gambling. You talked about emotion. That's a big point because I think like a lot of us who've owned crypto for some time, a lot of people will say, oh, I wish I bought more. And then when you're in a bull market, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to keep buying on the way up, and oh, I'm going to dollar cost average, and I wish it was half the price. And then when it happens, that's the moment of truth. So I'm curious for like someone like Jack, who I don't know how much you can share of actual amounts, but we've seen it, some of it in your account on this podcast. We know you've got quite a significant amount of money in crypto from Ethereum or Ether, Bitcoin before that. So like, I'm curious, like for you, this, when was it? 1 or 2 days ago, when you wake up and you've got a bunch of notifications and you've got like the all the red, like I open my app and I'm like 30-40%, everything's down, and I have like my portfolio set up and I see a huge, you know, loss, obviously. Like, I'm curious, like, how did you feel, man? Because like, how'd you deal with that? Because like, a lot of people just like were texting me like, oh my god, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to sell? Someone else sent, I've just like liquidated to USDT or whatever. I'm like, no, this is literally everything you're not supposed to do if you're holding long term. So just like, I'm curious, like, you seem pretty chill about it, but like, any thoughts there?
Yeah, I'd buy more. So
there we go, that's the way.
Did you buy more?
Yeah, yeah, but normally,
yeah, of course.
So I learned this lesson. I think like this is my like tiny. I think it was when COVID was hitting for the first time. My Twitter feed, I was on Zero Hedge every night. So I was like, fuck, like, you know, wearing a mask in my apartment. By that point, I was like, the world's ending, man. The world's ending. Like, clear out the closet. We're going to get some beans. We're going to get a gas stove. It's over. Yep, it's over. Yep. Sell your stocks. Get everything. I got out of everything. And then I was like, looking back, reflecting on that thesis, I was like, my prediction was, what was I going to do? Just like, I was trying to get my cash out so I could spend it. So like, when like I have money to spend while the world ends, I was like, what the fuck? What
kind of thesis? You got to buy a toilet roll with something, man. Yeah, you can't pay for it in Bitcoin.
What was I going to do? It was like pure emotion, right? That moment was like pure emotion, idiocy. And it's like, has my thesis on any of this stuff changed? And I think that was like, just seeing the market rebound for that and miss all of it was just like, that was the most moronic shit I ever did in my life. And a year or 2 years later, you look at it and you're like, oh yeah, obviously in hindsight, humanity is going to figure out the problem and march forward. And if you're reasonably diversified, you should like, it will tick back up eventually, right? You're either betting on human ingenuity long-term or you're not. And that like, to me was like, has my belief in like Ethereum and Bitcoin changed in the last 48 hours? No. So why would I sell more? There is a valid point though, with like, if someone like Elon is determined to destroy it, it's a bit different because you are like, and I tweeted about this yesterday. It's like, if Elon Musk's tweets are like, can have an extreme impact on your financial future, you may be like allocated very poorly and
overexposed, a little bit overexposed. Yeah.
Slightly overexposed. And I believe that to be true, but like the way it's like a zero or a ridiculous outcome. That's kind of the allocation strategy on my end. It's not, I'm not pomp, you know, 98% Bitcoin or anything like that, but definitely like probably a financial advisor would be like, that's a little bit aggressive.
It's a little bit aggressive. The stuff that the moderators must see is crazy. And even at like YouTube's, I used to work at YouTube for a while, Alex. Some of the people I know who are really junior, their job was to moderate like stuff that got put in the queue when they first died. And the stuff they would see, honestly, like all jokes aside, was like really, really terrible, that, you know, it's going to impact you mentally for many years.
Wait, hold on. These are like These weren't contractors. These are junior employees.
So eventually it became contractors. But when I started, it was 2010. And literally there were Stanford, Oxford, Cambridge grads I knew like that. Their job was what was called working in the bin. Bin is like trash can.
Oh, my God, right? Dude.
And it's like and a Black Mirror episode, man.
Well, have you guys read, I think it was Casey Newton who did an article, like the profile on the Facebook contractors that work on Modern. It was some of the worst shit I've read. Yeah.
So I can't believe that they had like Oxford and...
Oh, man.
Hey, Dad,
crazy.
I got hired by Google. It's amazing. The people here are so nice. Free food.
Because when you start, the first month is like you're learning AdWords, right? And one of the things someone has to do is look at disapproved ads. Sorry, this is different to the YouTube disapprovals, but it's a similar thing. You're seeing ads that are disapproved, and sometimes they're like display banner ads that have stupid stuff on it. But I know a lot of senior people... who like even I worked with, they started in that job, and it was just kind of like a rite of passage. Like in the PR world, you're someone's assistant for 5 years and you're running, getting coffee. This was the equivalent of that. So thankfully I didn't have to do that.
Jack, you got the merch coming. Can you talk about the merch? Are you revving up the merch?
Look at the fresh hat though.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, looking clean. So Jack and the merch hoodie.
He's got a Visualized Value hat and a Visualized Value sweater. Is this all in response to you losing your Twitter accounts and you're like, I need to monetize? Honest question. Yeah.
No, it's, my wife is like, we need to be wearing, you know, you go to the airport and stuff and you know, when people like wear the McKinsey vests and all that stuff. It's like, you're out and about all day long. It's like, you're a little walking billboard wearing some other brand. It's like, you need to wear your own stuff. So it's like, all right, I've got
I love that
ideas.
She said that. That's great. Yeah,
I love. Is that for sale? I could go for a sweatshirt like that. That just merch. I love it.
It's on me, mate. It's on me. Send me your address. I'll get it to you.
Okay. Wait, Jack, how's that moving, by the way, man? Those are sick.
Yeah, it looks cool.
They're selling, man. Yeah, I'm doing 100. I'm doing 100 drop, a drop of 100 each. And most of it sells out pretty quick.
Oh my God.
But it's just fun, man. I like it's we don't like you don't make a lot of money selling merch, right? Unless you're selling like ludicrous stuff. But it's fun to do we work with Printful, which is just ridiculously efficient business, like mind-blowingly. So
what do you mean?
So it's a Shopify plugin.
Okay.
So what you do is you can essentially customize a product in the back end of Printful. Say, I want this embroidered. I want it at that scale. They've got like, this is a Champion sweatshirt. So they've got like quality material that they put it on. And then their turnaround time, man, I don't know, man, this is like a logistical miracle, man. What they do is like in some cases, an order comes in, I'll get an email confirmation and it leaves their facility 2 hours later. Embroidered package.
That's incredible.
There's another company like that.
That's amazing.
I hope you enjoyed some of those segments. And if you want to listen to the full uncut version of this conversation, just go down to the notes in your podcast app and there's a link right there to go and listen to the full episode on the Not Investment Advice podcast. Or just search any podcast app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and check that out. And let us know what you think on Twitter. As always, I'm at BZady. Jack is at Jack Butcher and Trung T Fan. Tag us, let us know what you think, and I hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you next week.